Jesus.
LGBTQ.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives.
It is Friday, the 17th of August, 2018, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We're broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the agora of the Palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Ulksan, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, the Vancouver Fringe is starting in 3 weeks. And from now until then, we'll introduce you to some of the local theater artists involved. Today, we'll talk about mid-20s theater's The Bitter Tears of Petra Van Kant, Carriage, a family drama by Elisa McRae, and My Imagine Ran Away With Me, a mini acrobatic circus show directed by Joshua Green. It's Fringe-tastic radio for the whole family, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. Well, we've got our first group of guests in here. Bohan Bridge is somebody I met about 3 years ago at a cold reading series. And we've covered two other shows that you've been involved in. And now you finally arrived in the studio to talk about your Fringe show. And you brought a couple of folks in with you. So why don't you say hi and tell us who's with us. Who's with us today?
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you very much for having us in today, Dave. Mm-hmm. It's really nice to finally be here in the flesh. Yeah. I'm here today with my two awesome cast members, Kate Boutelier and Shelby Satterthwaite. And they're both respectively playing Karin and Marlena mm-hmm. in the play The Bitter Tears of Petra Van Kant. Right. Yes.
And so this is about almost a 50-year-old story. This is originally a film, a German film.
The play is the original piece.
Okay.
It was written by Fassbinder because he starred in theater before getting into film. But then he immediately made a film about like a year later.
Yeah.
And the film kind of became a big thing.
Right.
So everyone knows it really well for the film, but like mm-hmm. nobody actually has an idea that it originally was a play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the story of the play?
It's essentially, long story short, it's about this like really successful young fashion designer named Petra Van Kant who mm-hmm. falls in love and becomes like obsessive over this like young ingenue who's like aspiring to be a model named Karin.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially it's all taking place in her apartment over a couple of different days and, you know, and just sort of like addresses the turmoils of falling in love and then the aftermath of that and her yeah. kind of going through this change. Yeah, but there's a lot of like different subject matter in it that's addressed like LGBTQ content and yeah. like bisexuality,
mm-hmm.
Because she falls in love with a woman when she was married to a man, and then
so she's sort of discovering a part of herself that she might not have realized was there.
Yes. Yeah. And it's funny too, because Karin's like very young as well. So like there's this like whole like intergenerational love concept too, about like an older soul and like a younger soul talking about that and like power dynamics in relation. And also Karin comes from a very low status, whereas Petra's from like a very high class bourgeois family. So like, and how like classism affects relationships and a lot of power dynamics and like struggles and
All right. Well, we have the actors here. So who's playing Petra and who's playing Karin?
Neither one of us are playing Petra.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm playing Karin.
Right.
And I'm playing Petra's like personal secretary, Marlena. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Kate.
Yeah.
You're playing Karin.
Yes.
So tell us about how you dove into that role.
Yeah, I would say it's kind of one of the most challenging and exciting roles I think I've probably taken on before. Just because she has such an arc throughout the show, she does come in to Petra's life as someone a lot lower in status than Petra is and a little dubious about the situation. And without giving away too much, you know, dynamics get very much switched over. You know, she kind of does a 180 and you're not really sure who's controlling who at some points.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun one for sure.
And Chelsea?
Shelby.
Shelby, okay. Yes. So tell us a little bit about what your character's involvement in all this is.
My character, I think she's really interesting because she never speaks throughout the show, but she's like consistently like watching and kind of like looking over what's happening this entire time. So she sees everyone going through their own situations, and she never comments on it, but she sort of acts as like a reflection of what the audience might be feeling. And it's really fun to try and like portray emotion through just body language and kind of interacting with people without actually speaking to anybody.
Well, yeah, that's a great challenge for actors is to be present and be silent.
Yeah, it's really cool.
The first thing most of us do is go through the script and go, okay, bullshit, my line.
And so, when do I get to talk?
Yeah.
My turn, I'm ready. It's been a really fun change to try and bring the same kind of presence onto the stage and not let people forget that she's there while never saying anything.
Exactly. You're just listening. We're watching you listening. It can be very compelling in its own right.
Well, I sure hope so.
Let's find out a little bit more about the two of you. Like, where are you from? How long you've been acting? And
you go ahead, Kate.
So I am originally from Victoria. I've been doing theater since I was about 10, so 14, 15 years now. Mm-hmm. And I moved to Vancouver to go to Capilano University for their acting for stage and screen program, which I graduated from in 2017. So since then, I've just been doing theater and film around town. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything we might have seen you in?
My most recent theater show would have been Tom Usuru Players. They put on the About Love Festival every year. And so last year I was in that and in a show called Small and Almost Honest, directed by Patricia Trind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And I live in Tawasin and I sort of always did theater like when I was really little. My parents would like sign me up for summer camps and I did it all throughout high school. And then when I left high school, I kind of knew that, like, this is what I wanted to do. So I just started to kind of audition for things around town. And now I get to do this. It's
really
exciting.
Yeah. it's funny how it just sort of one thing leads to another.
Yeah, it really does.
Is this a first Fringe experience for all of you? Or
I have done one Fringe show before in Victoria.
Mm-hmm. I've never done a Fringe show before.
Mm-hmm. This is like my first ever Fringe show and for mid-20s, which is really exciting. For me personally as a director, and it was going to be, I guess, like I recently just came back from the Calgary Fringe Festival.
Oh, yeah.
So that was my first actual Fringe experience. So I don't know if I'm really considered more of like a first timer, I guess, but it will be a first time for Vancouver.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you do it? Were you acting or directing something in Calgary or what was your
experience? I was acting in a play. Yeah. So that's kind of interesting too.
Yeah.
Because it gave me a perspective that's probably very similar to these two right now.
Yeah.
So like it's very fresh, but I would say maybe it's different than directing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, and the Fringe experience itself is something that's completely different from anything else in theater. It's,
action packed.
Very concentrated.
Yeah. It all goes by
lots
so
of shows
quickly.
Happening all at once.
Are you heavily involved during the Fringe, like in the area? Like you go out to the social events and the shows and the parties all the time?
You know, it's funny. I was in a show last year, and aside from the people in the play just before us and the people just after us, I had no connection with anybody else. My attention was so focused on our show.
Well,
I didn't have any energy to do anything else. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so fair.
But we were at the Kulch. Oh. And that's a different experience too, because I've been involved in stuff at on Granville Island, and there you're like right in the middle of the mix,
yeah, mm-hmm.
and you're just always bumping into people and going and seeing
you
and
have
stuff.
No choice.
But the culture is sort of its own environment out there. Yeah. Yeah. Are you in the historic theater?
No, we're in the culture lab.
In the culture lab.
That's
a neat little room.
Yeah. Was there a show in the culture lab?
We were
well?
In the historic last year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it wasn't the Dramatic Works series.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Oh, this is part of the Dramatic Works series.
This is part of the Dramatic Works series. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Which
yeah.
Which again another unique part of the Fringe experience,
yeah. mm-hmm.
because you do get a little bit more support for that. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. let's. Well, I mean, we got a bit of time. Let's talk a little bit about getting involved in Dramatic Works series, because mm-hmm. it's
a special thing. Hey?
Yeah, and it's kind of a lottery too, don't you? Like, there's a process of getting accepted in the first place.
Yeah. Like I'm still very unfamiliar with regards to how they choose in the end. But essentially, yeah. Like we
just got a call and said you're in.
Yeah. No. Look, we pitched in, and like they asked for like the show and like the rights for it too before.
Yeah.
Like when if you submit and stuff, or if they get pitched, like I guess they probably knew of the concept, I guess, and then they chose in the end. But yeah, it's almost like the BYOV type thing.
Yeah,
where it's like its own section. Yeah, mm-hmm. But with regards to this year, like, do you know any of the other shows that are happening?
Not off the top of my head.
Oh, okay, well, there's a pretty awesome selection. Like, there's Dear Elizabeth, Precious Little, The Shape of Things by Neil LaBute, mm-hmm. and Rabbit Hole.
Yeah.
So like, I guess aside from that, and then there's Us, and I think most of them kind of share a similar language in a way, where it's like a lot of them are very poetic and intellectual, and about four of them have LGBTQ content in them, and I think kind of endorse gender parity, I think.
So
but,
so you went to start out with, did you submit mm-hmm. to them? You said I want to produce this play as part of the Dramatic Works series.
And mm-hmm. It was applied
to that.
It was as an option, because we originally, like a lot of other people in mid-20s, applied for the main stage lottery, right? And then we didn't get in. We were on the wait list.
Yeah.
So we had this as a side pitch. Yeah. But like we didn't have any idea that we were actually going to do it.
Yeah.
Or anything. But this is just like, if we had a choice for an adaptation, because mid-20s is still endorsing original works.
Yeah.
In the long run, we would want to choose this play for mm-hmm. this specific reason, and because this is never premiered in Vancouver, and obviously with the work of like Fassbender, like I think it's a very special type of work that we would love to endorse, but you know, it's still adaptations, right yeah. So like, but then and then they were just like, we want the show in here, and we were like, oh, okay, cool,
yeah,
and yes, yeah, yeah, we're gonna yes. give it our all,
yes.
Yeah,
we say yes,
awesome, yes, yeah.
Thank you,
yeah,
man. Well, fantastic. So it's The Bitter Tears of Petra von Kant,
mm-hmm.
and it's part of the Dramatic Works series at the Fringe, which runs from September 6th to 16th.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any special days, like two for one days or question answer days or any kind of other special things that the audience should be aware of?
We have one matinee, I think, at 1 p.m. on the 8th, uh-huh. I believe, and that would be half price tickets. And then also we have a preview at the Havana Theater on August 31st.
Oh, good.
With four other shows, I believe. So I think tickets are just $10 for that. But if you want to check out it'll be arguably our very first time showing it to a live audience. So it'll be really exciting.
Yeah.
If you want to get a taste of what it's like before we have the polished version and everything. And you can see all the errors and stuff.
Yeah. And we're screening the film too,
oh,
aren't we? September
yes.
1st?
Oh. Yes. Also, Mid-20 Cedar, I guess it's kind of interesting. We're doing a free screening of the original film at the Van City Theater in partnership with Vancouver International Film Festival.
Wow, that's
and the
cool.
Fringe Festival. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of interesting, because I guess that's like a different event, but also it's supporting that. So
yeah.
I was like, should it's appropriate? Yeah. So that's happening on September 1st. It's in the afternoon, I believe, 1 to 4.
Okay.
Tickets are free, so you can get them on the VIF website or on our event page. We have a separate event page for that as well.
Okay.
I think they're kind of going, though, so make sure to grab it early.
Yeah.
Because like they'll probably go to standby.
Yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll make sure to link that on to the Dave Radio Facebook page, too, so that the word gets out.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you're interested, you should check it out, too. Have you seen the movie?
I have not.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Super good.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen a few Fassbender films in the 70s, but I don't even remember that one. So, I'll check it out. Yeah.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah, cool. Well, thanks a lot, the three of you, for coming
Thank
in.
You for having
Hope
us.
You have a great
so
run.
Yeah.
And keep in touch. We'll
Well,
yeah.
For sure, yeah. Hopefully see you at the Fringe Festival.
Oh, yeah, you probably will.
Heck, yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks. Okay, so one of the shows that's coming up at the Fringe, and you know what? I don't have it on my list, so I'm just going to play this instead. So that's Tribe Called Red, which I apparently some of our guests are familiar with.
I am very familiar, yeah.
So we have Mike and Alisa, and you guys are involved in a Fringe show called Carriage.
That is correct.
Which, Alisa, you wrote. So tell us a little bit about it.
Okay. So it is a play that is working on answering the question, in this era of Me Too, how do we support somebody when our experience is not me?
Yeah. That's an interesting question.
Yeah, because I feel like in some ways you can't tell someone else's story, but you can try and tell your story about how you try to support someone through their story. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's a little vague, but I mean
it. Well, it's about empathy, you know. It's about wanting to share, wanting to take on some of the load too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And how do you deal with someone reacting inappropriately or a way that's not supportive? And how do you, you know, when you want to tell someone what you're doing is wrong and you need to do this and.
Right. And your heart's in the right place, but this isn't helping.
That's right. Or maybe it isn't sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that as well.
Yeah. Because I think we all make mistakes as we try to figure out how to help people cope with their own problems. And sometimes they're the ones who know how to deal with it the best, and the other people around them are the ones having a hard time.
All right. Well, let's get into some specifics then. What's the story? What's the plot of the play?
Do you want to take that?
No, please. Oh, okay. Go ahead. I won't do it justice.
So it's really a character piece about relationships. But the plot is the evening before Lucy's wedding, she confronts her mom because her mom has invited her stepdad, even though she asked her not to repeatedly because he abused her when she was younger. But the mom never believed it. And so she comes and confronts her about that. And it's sort of her, like, this is your last chance, mom. Like, admit that you knew this. Let's clear the air. Let's get this right.
Yeah. If not now, when?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's news to her sister-in-law, who I'm playing, and her brother, who Mike is playing. And her brother doesn't really deal with it very well. And he takes off, and that's the end of Act One. We don't quite know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's pretty powerful stuff.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
And everybody reacts. The characters all react very differently.
Yeah.
And how they either come together or don't come together is sort of the gist of the play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what provoked you to write this?
Well, for me, I don't have a personal history with abuse, but I know quite a few people who do.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, I didn't feel like it was my job to tell their story, but I could try and tell how I feel about it and how I try to figure out what can I do for someone.
Yeah.
And I've talked about this with Mike before, but the original scene, which was inspired by my parents' relationship, is no longer in the play.
Yeah.
But my dad is a person who is really takes on the role of protector really seriously. Mm-hmm. And when my mom was going through a hard time, he had a hard time knowing how to help her. And so it sort of me trying to get in their shoes and in their brains and in their hearts a little bit and write about that.
Yeah, wonderful. So, Mike, let's talk about you and where are you from?
Well, I'm from Vancouver.
Yeah.
First of all, I should note that it is, as you guys can call me Mike, but officially it's Michael Carl Richards.
Well, that's good. Good, because actually we didn't give full names.
Yeah,
It's Elisa McRae.
That's right.
And Michael Carl Richards.
But you guys can call me Mike.
Okay. We can call you Mike. All right.
But the I had gone to this retreat, and I had seen something that Elisa had done that I was very inspired by. And so I reached out and said, if you ever have anything that you're doing that I could be a part of, I would love to be a part of it. And she said, I have this play, and we're going to do it at the Fringe. And I said, well, send me a copy, and I'll read it, thinking there's no chance there's going to be a part for me. And then I read it, and it's a part that I'm very excited to play.
Yeah. What about the character intrigued you?
Well, first of all, I read it, and I thought, this is a guy that I understand.
Yeah.
And there's aspects of this character that I understand. But I didn't necessarily understand the story in a way, and I thought that it was an exciting thing to explore what the story means. Being a bit abstract, but what the story means in terms of how Mike feels about these subjects, and how I would deal with it, and how the character dealt with it, and how I can understand how the character dealt with it. So I could, on one hand, I understood it completely, and on the other hand, didn't understand it at all, and that part was the part that excited me.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's what we go into it, is just to explore those questions.
Exactly.
And, you know, what I don't know where it's going to take me, but it's going to take me someplace interesting, so let's see where the journey leads.
Yeah. And there's really talented people that I wanted to work with. Mm-hmm. The director, Matthew Harrison, is a friend of mine, and he is someone I've worked with before, and I always excited to work with him.
Yeah.
And talented writers and other actors, and it's very fun.
And so, as you know, Lisa,
you're
a writer and an actor.
Yeah.
So what? Tell me a little bit about your background. Where did that come from?
Okay, well, I've always loved storytelling. That's like my thing that I love doing.
Yeah.
And I was always in plays in high school. And then this is a really tricky thing to talk about on the radio, but I have a birthmark that covers 70% of my body.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up in a small town, like, everyone was so supportive, and I could play the lead in all these plays, and it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
And then I went to university, and people were like, well, you're never going to get cast. You're not going to get in this program.
Yeah. Da, da, da.
So I bought into that, And I just decided to become a teacher. Mm-hmm. And I kept writing, but nothing to do with acting or anything. And then I had some students who were these tough chick basketball girls who were like super goal oriented.
Oh, yeah.
And one day in class, I can't remember why I brought it up, but I was like, oh, you know, I always wish I could be in a play. And this one girl, I remember Kim, she just stared at me and goes, well, then take a class and get good at it. And she just, it was amazing. And
what's your problem?
Exactly. And I thought, you know, she's just saying back to me what I would say to any kid that I knew if they had a passion. And so then I started trying to do stuff, and I started writing things and trying to get my own stuff made.
Yeah.
The project Mike alluded to, or Michael Carl Richards alluded to, is is a short film that I wrote. That's been, we just found out actually it's been accepted to another film festival, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
And it's another one where you're trying to answer a question that you don't know. So, like, for me, I have two sisters who have lovely husbands, and I really love them, but I sometimes wonder, like, what if my sister wasn't around? Like, would I still talk to this person? Like, would we be friends? What would our relationship be? So that short is about that, in tragic circumstances, because that seems to be what I like to write about in short stuff. But I also have a feature film that's in development right now that's a little more autobiographical. It's about what it's like to have a birthmark like this, and what people expect you to feel, and the things people will say that you can't believe they would actually say, and that people who give you notes will be like, that's unrealistic. And I'm like, that happened yesterday.
Yeah.
and it's a dramedy. So it's lighter and it's really fun.
Yeah.
And I'm working with West Wind Pictures, who made Little Mosque on the Prairie on that. And they're just lovely. So
wonderful.
Yeah. So it's kind of that, you know, if people aren't going to open the door for you because you're different, just build a different house and go in the door yourself.
Exactly.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
This is exactly what inspired me to reach out to her. And that, coupled with the fact that she's very talented.
Yeah. That helps, too.
Yeah, it does help.
You kind of have to have that to back it up, right? I guess. Not that I'm saying I'm talented.
You are.
Well, this is great. Thanks a lot for coming in, you two.
Thank you.
It's the play's called Carriage, and it's at Studio 1398 on Granville Island.
Yes.
And it starts on the 7th of September, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 performances.
Mm-hmm.
So get out there and see it.
That'd be great. Our show on the 7th is at 10:30 p.m., but the enticement is that it's our half-price show.
Oh.
So it kind of covers your membership to the Fringe.
Yeah.
If you want to come to that one. And we have a Facebook page, so you can look up Carriage Vancouver Fringe, and it'll show up somewhere.
Terrific.
And the Fringe is awesome.
It is. Yeah. It is.
Yes.
And you know, I know that when I'm down there, I'm always looking for something else. You know, I'm here to see this, but, oh, there's something else going on. I'll see that first. And so, you know, it's a great opportunity to explore and see things you might not have seen before.
Yeah, I was sort of comparing our show to, like, the Fringe is like this big Mexican fiesta with all of these, like, really exciting flavors. And then our show is like a really nice cup of herbal tea for, like, a quieter moment. So if you need a quieter moment, come and see our show.
Magnificent. All right. Thank you both for coming in.
Thanks so much.
All right. So next up, we've got the circus.
The world. Like the sound of your own voice? Are you a student that has a lot to say about the University of British Columbia?
If so, there is a place for you.
The UBC Affairs Collective is a brand new collective at CITR 101.9 FM that brings students together to cover campus news, including research developments, arts and culture, live discussions, and lots more.
The Collective produces a weekly radio show, the UBC Happy Hour, that airs every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. You can find all the episodes podcasted online at citr.ca.
Send an email to ubcaffairs@citr.ca if you'd like to get involved. No prior radio experience is necessary.
People are really done with politics as usual.
But then it's all about the competition.
Every Vancouverite has their own story.
The perfect time for our alternative.
Vancouver's municipal election looms. October 20th. Do you know who's running for
City Council? School Board? Parks Board?
This is a wacky municipal election, and you're going to want to stay updated. Download Seeking Office, the newest municipal elections podcast from CITR's News Collective. Find Seeking Office on iTunes and Stitcher, or wherever you download your podcasts, starting July 3rd.
CITR Radio 101.9 FM and Discorder Magazine present
the Victory Square Block Party 2018.
We're back with our annual free all-day party to bring summer to a close. Happening on Sunday, September 2nd from 1 to 9 p.m. in Victory Square Park at the corner of Cambie and Hastings. With performances by La Cascivana, Princess Apparently, Sorry Edith, Future Star, Mama Rude Gal, Club Sofa, Yep, and Devours. Plus an ice cream truck on site and a raffle for kick butt local prizes.
Can't miss that. Ice cream truck on site. Yeah. CITR 101.9 FM, Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We're looking at Fringe 2018 and some of the local artists that will be performing this year. And with me now is Joshua Green. Hello, Joshua.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, doing well. So your production is called My Imagination Ran Away Without Me.
That's correct.
And it's kind of an acrobatic circus kind of... Well, tell us what it is.
So basically, it's just an acrobatic take on procrastination. I think a lot of us procrastinate. We're told it's a bad thing. We're told that, like, don't do it. You shouldn't procrastinate. Focus on your this and your that.
Yeah.
But every time I've procrastinated, I've been so much happier doing it. And so I procrastinate with gymnastics. I procrastinate with climbing on people, climbing trees, doing flips into whatever. And so I wanted to kind of create a play that's kind of like a mini Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah.
And so it kind of goes through my life of like when I was supposed to be doing my homework, when I was supposed to be studying for a test. And instead I was like, I'm just going to go play video games instead. And so we kind of take you through a video game and we act it out in acrobatics.
Oh, wow.
Then we do the same thing with anime and we're flipping around and throwing each other and tossing each other around all like while my alarm's going off. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm late for school. And so it kind of like breaks through reality and back and forth in this really fun Cirque du Soleil. I mean, if you like anime and you're a bit nerdy and you like video games and you like haunted houses and you love seeing Cirque du Soleil shows, like this is great to see a bunch of local artists and local acrobats like take it on. I mean, we're not Cirque du Soleil caliber, but we are, you know, we're good. We're doing stuff. We're having fun.
How many people have you gotten in the group?
There's 10 of us all together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have some cool like human trampoline stuff. We've got some partner tossing where we throw people from one side of the stage to the other. Mm-hmm. And then we have a little bit of acro yoga as well. So we do like washing machines where we're jumping on people's feet and being thrown from feet to feet. So it'll be exciting. It's at the Waterfront Theater on Granville Island.
Uh-huh.
So it's a big stage, 210 people. And
yeah
there's lots of video games and anime playing in the background as well.
So have you been doing this kind of stuff all your life?
Yeah, since I was a kid, I was doing like breakdancing and parkour and acrobatics and acro yoga. And now I teach acro yoga. And I was just, you know, everyone kept telling me, like, get a desk job, figure it out, do this. And I was like, I just have to
be a grown up.
Yeah, adult immediately. And I was like, I don't want to. And so I always found myself like staring out the window of this like large building, being like, I want to be back down there doing that. And so in the last couple years of my life, I've just completely focused more on the acrobatics of my life and just so much more freedom, so much more fun, so much more connection with the community and the people that I'm around, and less complaining and more doing, which is really fun. So
so
the kind of the play does take place a little bit of my life of like me kind of doing what I think I'm supposed to do, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
and then breaking free from that and then doing just acrobatics and being like, this is the greatest. So it'll be a fun little journey through my procrastinative imagination through acrobatics.
What's acro yoga?
It's like partner yoga where someone lies on their back and puts their feet in the air.
Uh-huh.
Then the other person climbs on those feet and then they just kind of move around and cycles through that.
Yeah.
It takes patience, communication, trust, balance. It's really, really awesome.
And you teach that?
Yeah, I teach it. They do it here at UBC.
Oh, really?
The UBC Yoga Club has an acro yoga class, I think, on Fridays.
Uh-huh.
Today, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, let's head down there.
Yeah, let's go play. What are we waiting for?
Yeah.
It's a wonderful chance. Like, if someone's like, oh, I'm so inflexible, it's like it teaches you passive versus active flexibility, which is really cool.
Uh-huh.
It teaches you how to, like, trust and communicate. And then everyone's like, oh, I need a partner. Don't worry. We'll partner you up with someone.
Yeah.
So, it's lots of fun stuff like that. And I highly recommend anyone who has any apprehensions towards it, just give it a try.
Yeah.
It's total green eggs and ham. You're like, I don't want to do it. It's gross. I don't want to eat it here. And then you try it and you're like, what have I been doing with my life?
What have I been missing out
on? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So you're at the Waterfront.
Yeah.
And are there any special events, dates, half-price days, anything you want?
So the half-price day will be September 6th. So if anybody's like wants to come, they're like, I don't want to spend $15. I want to spend $6. come to the show on the 6th at the Waterfront Theater.
Yeah.
I think it's at 5:30 p.m. We're the first ones on the ticket page. So if you go to the Fringe tickets page, we're like the first poster that pops up. It's My Imagination Ran Away With Me.
Great.
And then it's me getting punched by someone.
Yeah.
So,
flying through midair.
Yeah, flying through midair with a punch.
So
that's it's easy to recognize. We'll have posters in and around the city as well, but hopefully people check out My Imagination Ran Away Without Me and come out and check out the play The Fringe.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Joshua, thanks for coming in and talk about it.
My pleasure, Dave. Thank you so much for having
me. All right. Well, we'll see you down there.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay, so I was going to play this song, and then I didn't, and now I'm going to play it again, and it's disappeared on me. No, there it is. There it is. One of the shows that's going to be at the Fringe is called Poly Queer Love Ballad. Friend of the show, Anais West, and her partner, Sarah Victruk. And this is one of the songs from it. It's called Alternative Lifestyle Haircut.
Cruising, I've nothing else, so I make my way down to Commercial Drive. That's where we ride. Hook my helmet off, roll my hands through my platinum coif. It's poetry night at Cafe du Soleil. I'm looking to get laid, crammed in a cafe. There's such an array of plaid, clad denim vested babes with undercut shaves. Then she starts her set. I'm suddenly wet. Who's this finest femme I see? And what's her LP? Lesbian potential. Nails cut short, you're in a dude's t-shirt. All good signs, she might like pussy. But ooh, girl, you got me confused, girl. With your hair buzzed on one side, do you like what I like? You could also be an alternative hipster. Ooh, girl, does a ruby rose make your toes curl? Her haircut's misleading, I can't find a reading. You could very well be an activist beatnik. I ask around for a reference. Seems that no one's met her before. Makes me want her more. I'll try to lock eyes. The look never lies. Oh shit, she's talking to some bro dude scum with an ugly man bun. Ooh, girl, are you my queer muse, girl? You're so smart and wordy, I want to get dirty with you, ooh, ooh, in a gender-neutral bathroom, ooh, girl.
Hey. Buy me a drink.
Ooh, girl.
That's from Poly Queer Love Ballad, another show that's going to be coming up at the Fringe. Okay, we're going to take one more break, and then we'll come back with Callboard.
The world is a better place because of Kim Kardashian's empire,
Cheetos,
fleece material,
and Discorder.
It's a local independent music magazine from CITR.
Which means that we can print whatever we heckin' want.
Album and live show reviews, interviews with artists, and sweet illustrations grace our pages.
And even you, listener, can contribute.
Just visit CITR.ca/discorder/contribute.
You can grab it around town or read it at discorder.ca.
Forever local and forever free.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh in the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
To 3 p.m.
Who is this guy? Does he have a name? Let me know where he's from.
My name's Chris Horrific.
You always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is without question the greatest sports and entertainment event of all time. Be a part of it Monday
from 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your fingers.
Time now for the Dave Radio Call Board, featuring auditions and calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It's our belief that auditions announced here should be open to artists of all cultural, sexual, gender, ability, and other identities. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for everything. And the first thing we want to tell you about is Shindig 2018 is coming. Submissions are now open for Vancouver's favorite local music showcase. Vie for a chance to play at CITR Discorder's annual Battle of the Bands. We don't care what genre, shtick, vibe, or experience level you have. If you make music, we want to hear it. Send a demo of original material to shindig.submissions@gmail.com by September the 8th. If you want details, you can find them at our website, citr.ca. And while you're there, check out the job postings. CITR Discorder are hiring technical coordinator and production coordinator for September. The technical coordinator's job is open only to UBC students and is an amazing opportunity to get some great work experience. The production coordinator job is open to anyone interested in radio production and podcasts. Full job descriptions are available at CITR.ca. The deadline for submission is Sunday, this coming Sunday, August the 19th. And you can send your submission to stationmanager@CITR.ca. with your resume and cover letter. Other job notices, there's Gateway Theater in Richmond is hiring folks for their academy. They're looking for a speech instructor as well as some co-instructors in musical theater. You must have, let's see, all the details are at gatewaytheater.com. Want to make a note that because you'll be working with kids, there is going to be an RCMP vulnerable sector check. So you got to be prepared to go through that. But otherwise, great jobs available at the Gateway Theater. Deadline for submission is August 30th, and you can send your resume to Ruth McIntosh, and her email is rmcintosh@gatewaytheater.com. Diverse Theatre BC is looking for 12 artist ambassadors to assist in building the DTBC, that's Diverse Theatre BC, online community by recruiting peers. Ambassadors will be provided with a budget to attend an average of 2 shows per month to meet Indigenous and racialized artists, also known as IARA, to inform them about the Diverse Theatre BC database and encourage them to sign up. So they're looking for 2 each of artists who self-identify as Indigenous, African, East Asian, Latin American, Middle Eastern or North African, and South Asian. Or you can be of mixed race that includes one or more of those cultural heritages. It's a 1-year term, and it starts in September and goes till August of next year. You can find out more by going to visceralvisions.com/ambassador. Deadline for application is tonight at midnight, so get in there right now. Back to auditions, we've got Play It Forward is doing a play called The Recovery Show, written and directed by Darlene Arsenault. Darlene is a mental health professional and a theater artist who will help you stage your recovery story. Hosting 2-hour classes weekly from mid-September till May of 2019. You can learn voice work, body awareness, storytelling, character work, scene building, and improvisation. Participants must be 19 and older, have working self-recovery plan, and be interested in making a scene about their recovery. This is sponsored by the Vancouver Coastal Health Consumer Initiative Fund. Sizzle Snap Productions is putting out a call for their film, Alien/Or. This is directed by Kaylee and Sam Spear, a couple of great friends of the show, film producers and actors. They're looking for diverse and unique types playing minors. This is a project that was initiated by 20th Century Fox in celebration of the 40th anniversary of the original Alien film. And so a bunch of shorts are being made around that story. And Kaylee and Sam's story about minors has been chosen for one. So they're looking for two female actors, both of them in their 40s to 50s. Lorraine, a hardworking miner, mother and grandmother, and Hanks, a synthetic who manages operations at the mine. The production will be shot in mid-October. They're looking for auditions by tape, and if you're selected, they will then invite you in for an in-studio audition. This will be happening at North Shore Studios. And if you want to find out more, you can send your headshot and resume to blackspear.productions@gmail.com. Naked Goddess Productions is doing the best Christmas pageant ever by Barb Robertson, directed by friend of the show Tamara McCarthy. This is going to be up in December at the Havana Theater. The auditions are today at the Havana, and they're looking for adults and young actors, and at least submit to children who have had some experience in theater or some training in theater. And if you want to know more, you can go to nakedgoddessproductions.com. Firehall Arts Center is doing a contemporary adaptation of Henrik Ibsen's An Enemy of the People. It's called The Enemy. It's set in a BC community where a female Dr. Stockman discovers contamination at the local Healthy Springs Spa and Water Park and finds herself accused of wanting to destroy the local tourism industry. The production starts in October. The auditions are August 23rd and 24th, and you can apply at the firehallartscenter.ca. Metro Theatre in Marpole is doing their Christmas panto, as they do every year. And this year it's King Arthur's Court, directed by friend of the show Chris Adams. And Chris is holding his auditions on the 23rd, 24th, and 26th at Metro Theatre, which is on Southwest Marine Drive, right at the south end of Granville Street, just before the Arthur Lang Bridge. You can submit your headshot and resume to metropanto@gmail.com and let Chris know if there's a specific part you're interested in. You can get a full breakdown by going to Metro Theater. I think it's metrotheater.com. And let's see here. Join Arthur in a whimsical tale as he grows from boy to king. His interactions with Merlin and Guinevere, as well as his Knights of the Round Table, keep this energetic musical moving faster than you can say, Lancelot. They will not be casting based on gender, but on who is best for the role. So this is, Metro Pantos are always fun to do, and Chris is a fun guy and a great director, so good one to check out. The Shaw Festival in Ontario is still taking applications for their general auditions, which will be coming up very shortly. They're in Toronto, August 20th to 30th. Go to shawfest.com to find out more about that. The Young People's Opera Society is holding their auditions on Sunday at the Bethany Newton United Church. This is for two shows, one in December called Amal and the Night Visitors and one in the spring called Elixir of Love. You can go to their website, yposbc.org, to find out more about that. Two From Galilee by Robert Sterling and Carla Worley. This is produced by Theatre in the Country in Langley. It'll be up in December. The auditions are September 8th and 9th at Theatre in the Country in Langley. You can go to their website, theatreinthecountry.com, to find out more and fill out an audition form. And they are looking for all kinds of folks from the ages of 8 to 80. North Van Community Players, their Christmas panto is Treasure Island, written and directed by friend of the show Peter Zednik. The auditions are in September, the 9th and 10th, at the Silver Harbor Center in North Vancouver. And the show itself will be on from November 30th to December 16th at the theater at Hendry Hall. This role is open to performers of all genders and gender identities. Performers of all ages are encouraged to audition. You can get an advanced copy of the script by emailing your request to Peter at pmo@shaw.ca. A supernatural musical burlesque by Alan Pronger called Vamp is inspired by classic B-horror movies and gothic literature. It's going to be happening at Performance Works on Granville Island in May of 2019, but they're having their auditions in September. They're looking for strong singers and dancers. Because it's a burlesque musical, you can be expected to ask to do partial but tasteful nudity, and all body types are accepted and celebrated. You must be 18 and over to participate, and they are looking for a diverse cast of artists because of the diversity of the roles that will be involved. If you want to submit for an audition, you can send your headshot and resume to Alan Pronger at alan@twofly.ca. And finally, The Electric Company is holding auditions for the premiere of The Full Light of Day by Daniel Brooks, directed by Kim Collier. The production will be run at the Vancouver Playhouse January 5th to 12th. They're looking for a child actor to play the role of Lorna, a female, trans or cis, who appears to be 11 years old, precocious and strong-willed. They encourage applications to actors of all ethnocultural backgrounds. The auditions are on September 25th. And the deadline to submit is October 31st. You can email your submission to Shantini, Shantini, at electriccompanytheater.com. And that is all she wrote. That's our show. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we're here for you. Send your details to DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com and like us on Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at CITR Dave Radio. If you missed any or all of today's show or want to relive glorious moments from the past, check out our podcast archive at CITR.ca. Stick around because Audrey is wandering in to take you up until 2 o'clock, followed by Beppe Crespin and Nardwar, the human serviette, at 3:30. Dave Radio will return next week at this same time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag, all types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.